And so as we've sung, I heard the voice of Jesus say, I pray that God's Spirit would speak into our hearts, our lives, and our worship today. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I love to have catch-up conversations. You know, when you haven't seen someone for a while and you meet for a coffee or you meet to just catch up, I love those kind of conversations because the conversation can go in all sorts of ways. Usually when you look back, you will have covered all sorts of topics, all sorts of things, all sorts of parts of our lives in that conversation. Well, that describes this morning's passage, a conversation that goes lots of places. It starts in one place and it goes to a very different place by its end. It also describes this sermon series. Over the last couple of months, we've been looking at John's Gospel. We've gone through the first 4.5 chapters, learning that each passage has a deeper meaning, a deeper purpose, that ultimately always underlines that Jesus is the Son of God. But by the end of this sermon, we're going to allow our conversation to go in a very different way for a short period of time. Last time, last Sunday, in chapter 4, we met the Samaritan woman at the well. She was there in the heat of the midday sun, if you remember. She was there because she was a social outcast. Unlike the other ladies who met in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening to gather water, she was there because she was a social outcast. We are told later in the passage that she'd gone through 5 husbands and was living with another man. Shock, horror. And so she is an outcast in her own society. And as she is there, Jesus asks her for water. He's travelling back to his hometown. He's thirsty. The disciples have gone to get some food in another town. And as he talks to her, it's a big no-no. Not only is he talking to a sinful woman, but he's talking to a woman in general. In the culture of the Middle East, and in the culture of the Middle East today as well, men would not talk to women on their own. So Jesus is showing simple love to this woman. He is embodying, living out God's love that reaches out, that includes all, that embraces all, that invites all, irrespective of who they are, to come and experience that kind of love. And last week, the challenge for us was as individuals and as a church to follow that model, to be inclusive, to love all beyond what a life story might tell. And as we pick up once again, the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman continues. So turn, if you will, for a few moments to the passage on the weekly sheet or from the Pew Bible as I draw out a few things for us this morning. Up until this point, Jesus has been engaging with the Samaritan woman on an earthly level. And again, as we've learnt, we're about to go to a deeper spiritual level in the conversation. In today's reading, which starts in John 4, verse 9 and following, we witness an interesting interplay at this stage that transitions us from the earthly to the spiritual to the heavenly. Jesus has asked her for earthly refreshment. He wants some cool water to drink. But he keeps that theme as he engages with her on this deeper level. He reveals to her that in return, he can offer her, and this is verse 10, living water to refresh her. Living water. And of course, and we've seen this in other passages, she is confused at first, verse 11. She doesn't understand. How can Jesus be asking her for water, and yet at the same time, he is now offering her water? He doesn't have a bucket even to get the water 100 feet down in the well. But as we read on, we find the deeper meaning in verses 13 to 15, that Jesus is actually speaking into her deeper needs of life, her deeper longings of our heart, her spiritual needs. And Jesus tells her in verse 14 that God alone can quench that deeper thirst within her. That thirst that she's trying to fill with other things. Whoever drinks the water I give them, says Jesus, will never be thirsty. And the woman gets it. In verse 15, she replies, "Sir, give me this water." Jesus meeting deeper needs. Now, we could pursue that in its own right, that part of the conversation about Jesus, the living water, meeting our own deep needs in life. But it's the second part of the passage that I want to concentrate on and bring us in a different direction in terms of our sermon. As they chat more, Jesus and the Samaritan woman in verses 19 to 26 begin to talk about worship. She is confused about worship as to what that is, where it is done, and how it is done. The Samaritans and the Jews are very different in their worshipping practices. But Jesus teaches her that worshipping God, which is a very important part of any spiritual journey, to be spiritually healthy, is more about attitude above and beyond anything else. More about attitude. Verse 24, those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. It's about the attitude that she brings to worship. And as we once again seek to understand and apply the passage, we're going to go off for the next little while on a mini sermon series within our wider sermon series from John's Gospel. We're going to use these words to springboard off into a different direction for a little while. Essentially, what we learn from this passage is that we're all searching and seeking fulfillment in life, happiness in life. And there are lots of ways that we pursue that search for happiness. However, this passage invites us, saying to us that our faith in Jesus is the ultimate way to find that peace in life, to find fulfillment in life. He is the living water. And one of the important ways that we find that we are topped up in that faith, is in meeting other Christians and worshipping God together, usually in the building that we call church. Usually, but not exclusively, on a Sunday morning. And here is where our new journey starts. Over the next 6 weeks of Lent, which we began last week, I want to use what we have learned in John 4 to help us think about our own faith, to help us think about our own response to Jesus, the living water, especially what that means when we come to church. And what I'm going to do is follow the chapter headings, the themes in this very short book, which I've mentioned before, called How to Walk into Church by a man called Tony Payne. And I'm going to use this very short book to help explore what church and worship means to us, and to choose one of the chapters throughout the 6 Sundays in Lent to help us engage what it means to be part of a church community, to come to church. And what I will do is, and I've left copies at the back of the church, a few hard book copies at the back of the church for folk to take away if you'd like to take one. I've also left photocopies, and will do each week, of the particular chapters to encourage folk, whether they come to the rectory on a Wednesday night where we'll spend some time talking through it in a deeper way, or whether you want to take one and just think through the topic on your own in your own time. But whatever way, I really want to encourage us all to think about what it means to walk into church. So do take a book or a photocopy at the back of the church. And if they're not enough there, let me know and I can email a copy out to you. So let's begin. Chapter 1 in the book begins with the broad theme, how to walk into church. That sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? We've all grown up within a church community, I'm pretty confident of that, and we know essentially what church is all about. But the first chapter examines our attitudes and our expectations. Why do we come to church each week? And this is what Tony Payne writes, our launch board for our conversation. How you walk into church will be determined by what you think church is and what you think you're doing there. As you come to church, are you there out of duty? That's what we've always done. Are you expecting to be entertained or inspired in church? Are you there for some quiet time? Are you there to engage and to be filled by God? So as he teases out that question, he asks, how do we walk into church? And as we travel into chapter 1, which explores what the Bible says about church, this is what Payne writes in this book. He says we should walk into church praying about where we sit. Praying about where we sit. Now, he teases that out a little bit. What he means by that is, as we walk into church, we should be praying so that it puts us in the right frame of mind towards God, the one who calls us and in whose presence we are invited to come each time we come to this place. And as we pray walking into church, we are putting ourselves into the right frame of mind towards each other. It forces all of us to consider the fact that the church is about something other than us. It's about bringing our individual lives and joining together in a corporate act of worship. So as I leave that first chapter there, as I encourage all of us to pick up, to think, to engage, as we journey through the book on a Sunday and on a Wednesday evening in the rectory from 8 to 9, I hope it challenges us. More than that, I hope it refreshes us, that we're open to what it says, so that all of us, each time we come to church, can, in a deep and meaningful and significant way, draw upon Jesus, the living water, the one whom we worship in spirit and in truth. So the question that I leave with all of us, including myself this week, is how do we walk into church? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the love that Jesus shows to this woman who is in our own society deemed as an outcast, a sinner. I pray that we will continue to model that in our lives and as a church. And I pray too, as he encourages her to worship the living God, to draw and to drink from the living water, that we would seek that same thing in our own lives, not only in our everyday lives, but as we come and worship together as God's people in this place, that we would understand and ask ourselves in an honest way, how do each of us, how do we walk into church each time we come here? And so I leave this next 6 weeks, and I leave this sermon in your hands, Heavenly Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.